Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox taking on the Blue Jays over at Fenway Park this afternoon in the top of the sixth. Boston with a 7-2 lead. Andrew Benintendi, JD Martinez, home runs in this one for the Sox. David Price got the start, going five innings, giving up four hits, two earned runs, while striking out four. Mookie Betts, by the way, out of the Red Sox lineup again for the second straight game. He's dealing with tightness in his left side. Elsewhere in the AL East right now, Yankees trail the Astros 4-0 in the top of the sixth. Nationals lead the Orioles 3-0 in the seventh. And later on, Rays visit the A's. Chris Archer going to get the start in that one for Tampa Bay. First pitch in about an hour. NBA, Celtics falling in game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals last night to LeBron James and the Cavs, 87-79. Kyrie Irving, by the way, not in attendance for that game due to a deviated septum surgery. Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals is tonight between the Rockets and the Warriors. Tip-off is at 9. And in the NFL, interesting comments from former Patriots linebacker Cassius Marsh on his time with the Pats. Marsh saying that he didn't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. And I didn't enjoy any of my time there. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Stormworks Roofing and Restoration. Get $500 off a complete roofing system through May. Set up a free inspection at stormworksroofing.com or call 844-STORMWORKS. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I think first of all, you know, we all talked about being very appreciative for getting a chance to be around each other all year. It was a tremendous group from the standpoint of pulling together. It's just a great locker room, great support of one another. And then, you know, I talked about the pain as part of the path. We've been really fortunate to continuously get better the last couple of years and put ourselves in better positions. But when it ends, it's painful. But that is part of the path. And so we have to let it motivate us.
All right, hour number two, Felger and Maz, sort of half-loaded. Felger in here on a Memorial Day, committed to doing this on Friday, sort of thinking you'd be headed to the NBA Championship, headed to the NBA Finals, I'm sorry. They call it the Finals, McCone.
Yeah,
sorry.
Get it right.
Thought you'd be headed to the Finals. The green teamers would be a little bit more eager to talk about it, but what the heck. Still a big night last night at the Garden in a losing effort. Celtics go down in Game 7, so it's Felger, it's Marshall Hook, it's Tim McCone in our update studio. Mason Souza behind the glass, and we're reacting to the Celtics from last night. Back to your calls, as promised. Here's Matt in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, so, well, quickly, anyone outside of Boston actually watches basketball would tell you LeBron's the second worst ever, but you only watch about 10 games a year.
I can't understand a word you're saying, but just slow down.
Anyways, to my point, the Celtics fans are so fraudulent. I had to sit here and listen to calls being up 2-0 that about matches against the Warriors, trading Kyrie, they figured out LeBron, then they had the chance, undefeated at home to end it, and they choked. And then you have commentators like Hook talking about LeBron's shutdown factor. It hasn't happened in 10 years. Call it what it is. It was a choke. All the fans are backtracking so much from being up 2-0. It was a choke job. I'm sorry.
Well, they definitely choked in the game. There's no question about it. You can't say they choked the season or the series or, you know, like big picture, you step back. They exceeded what you had a right to expect. But that confuses the issue from last night, right? Because then you come out of the game, season's over, you say, well, you know, we were lucky to even be there. But so then you're sort of ignoring what happened in that game. Up 12, a couple different points in that first half, and you score three buckets the rest of the way in the second quarter. Nine minutes left in the second quarter, you're up 12, and you get three field goals the rest of the way into the half. You go one for your final 12 in the game, and you only let Tatum take one of those shots. That is gagging. You got guys going 1 for 10 from the field, 0 for 10 from the three-point line. That is gagging. They gagged.
I was more than happy to agree with everything that guy said until he came after me, of course, because it's exactly what I was saying. I never bought in. This is why I'm not calling last night a choke, because, yes, if you take that one game and just subtract it from the world around it and just look at that one game, you could probably make the case that it was a choke. But I look at it as a whole series. and the fact that I never thought they were going to win that series. I was not one of those fraudulent people that, as he called them, that said after one game or after, you know, after the two games, I listened to people in this very room talk about how they had a better than average chance of beating the Golden State Warriors. It might take six games, but, you know, seeing what I've seen from this Celtics team through these two games against, you know, LeBron, they're going to look good
against
the Warriors.
It got stupid, as it tends to with the Green Teamers. It did. It got silly. You can look at trading now Kyrie Irving because we have Terry Rozier. That was said. They have the formula against LeBron. They know how to build a wall and play defense against LeBron. They have the answers for LeBron. Yep, you heard that. No question about it. You heard all manner of things. Yes, it got goofy. No question about it.
Yesterday morning, I saw people tweeting out how when they take on Houston, for some reason, they're going to take on Houston in the finals, that the Astros and Red Sox were playing in Houston at the same time as the Celtics and Rockets would be, and how it was going to be this great. And I'm like, are you people insane? Where is this coming from?
Tom in East Longmeadow, your thoughts on Brad Stevens last night?
Michael, I think you'll go along with this. Let's please pump the brakes on Brad Stevens, all right? In fact, he actually dropped several notches in my estimation, okay? Going into that game, just like you said, seventh game, there's definitely going to be a choking factor. I mean, you got young guys. This is a new environment. It's just like in other sports, first time a golfer plays in a major, he's in the final round, or a tennis player playing at Wimbledon. Okay, your breathing's going to elevate, your heart rate's going to elevate, you know, things are going to happen faster. He has to know that. What in-game adjustments did he make? You know, basketball, a lot of times, you know, you knew their defense was going to be there. Their defense was excellent last night. I would have liked to have seen Bron being double-teamed a little bit more because I don't think the other shooters were really shooting the ball that well. And also, I would have gone after LeBron on our offense to make him work a little bit harder and take his legs out so that when you get into the second half, maybe he doesn't have quite the spring.
Okay, so I think LeBron is indefensible. Mm-hmm. So I don't second-guess them for LeBron scoring 35 after scoring 46. Like, he's averaging 36 points a night in the playoff. Like, he does this to everybody. My issue would be offensively. Offensively, you couldn't put it in the ocean last night. No one, basically, was shooting well from three, other than Tatum. And it was clear at the end of this game, your team was getting panicky. It had sped up. They were just getting the ball and launching. And again, it's one possession game for most of it. You go one for your last 12, and Jason Tatum takes only one of those shots. At some point, the coach has got to get in there and just flat out stop it with the timeout or call something from the sideline, slow it down, and get it to your best shooter. And just, I mean, we saw him do it. McCone mentioned this earlier. It's true. Stevens usually does a good job. When he feels Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart in particular are going to take a bad shot, he'll get in there and call a timeout on a weird spot in the shot clock. He did it in that Philly series a couple times. It was crying for it last night, crying for it, how panicky they got. That one sequence where they get, you know, off the free throw, rebound, three-pointer, rebound, three-pointer, like taking no time off the shot clock, doing none of that. And Stevens, I think it's a fair second guess to say Stevens sort of jumped in there at some point and slowed that game down for him because it was not slowing down for the guys on the floor.
So some of these callers, though, are making it sound as though Stevens had a bad game end-to-end. Like, I've heard the criticism from both of you about this sequence at the end or this period at the end where, you know, Jason Tatum wasn't more involved. Are there other calls earlier in the game that you have?
No.
Or non-calls?
Not really.
Because I look at it and say he had what he had. You know, these are the guys he had to work with. Short of Danny Ainge making some sort of trade in the middle of the game, he had seven guys. He had the virtually no bench, and he had apparently Aaron Baines walking around with a broken nose. What he had.
No, he didn't have to play other players. That's not what I'm talking about. It's, you know, where's the ball going and where's the shots coming from? And I, you know, as you would expect, I'm really focusing at the end of the fourth. But let's go back and look at the second. I mean, again, they're up 12 points with 8:52 left in the second quarter, and they get only three field goals the rest of that half. And as Brad Stevens said, that was the game to him. If they had broken that game open there, you agree with that, Marshall.
I do, absolutely.
If they had So let's go back and look at that second quarter. What were the shots looking like then? Who was shooting them? And where were they coming from?
And how many of them were Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart threes? Or anyone? I mean, like, nobody could hit them. I told you, even my mother, who knows nothing about basketball and was only half watching while reading something, kept hearing them say another miss from downtown. And she's like, they don't seem very good from town. My mother knows that they weren't doing well, and she doesn't know anything.
Let's leave your mother out of it. The Hook, here's Joe in Florida. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, the most disappointing part of that game, and nobody's talking, Jaylen Brown was horrible last night. He looked like a deer in headlights. He looked scared.
And he kept shooting. And so someone, 5 of 18, the most attempts on the team, he had more attempts than Tatum last night.
And where was the guy that goes to the basket? And he looked terrified going to the middle, going towards the basket. Terrible. He's a big part. And Rozier was just god-awful.
Atrocious.
God-awful.
Jaylen Brown, 18 attempts on the night, 12 were behind the line. It's just too much. So is this one of these things where having Kevin Love out? I mean, some people have credited the defense of Jeff Green being a factor in this series. Is Jeff Green really that much of an impact defender?
No.
Is he?
No.
I don't think Jeff Green is an impact anything.
I don't think he's an impact anything, even in a night where, you know, he was their second best player, I guess. And I still don't think he was that good.
So, and I've heard from a lot of people, because we were making plenty of fun of Jeff Green yesterday.
Oh, my God.
How do you feel now? And I'm like, well, somebody was going to say, it's not like Jeff Green is the reason that they won this game.
No, but that adds to the choke. Jeff Green outplayed Al Horford. Think about that, Horfordites. All the Horford people out there. Jeff Green outplayed Al Horford. That happened in that game last night. And you're saying it's not a choke? Come on, give me a break. Back with more after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Korver makes the extra pass into the corner. Jeff Green challenged on the three, but he knocks it down. And the Cavs regain the lead. And Jeff Green has been that guy tonight. He has risen to the occasion and lived up to all that promise. 19-7 for Jeff Green. Starting for Kevin Love. Cavs up by two. 5:30 to go in game seven.
It's amazing. Listen, at the end of the day, what he does on the basketball floor is extra credit. This guy had open heart surgery a few years ago, and the game was basically taken away from him. They said it's possible that you never played a game of basketball again. So the fact that he can put on a uniform every night and do the things that he do out on the floor, you know, I don't care if he make a shot, you know, or he make big plays like tonight. Like for him personally, this is, I mean, it's all like, you know, it's the cherry on top for him, because the game was taken away from him. So for him to be able to just, you know, do what he did last game after Kev's injury, and then obviously start tonight, you know, it was big time.
I worked hard to get to this position. I mean, I can't put it into words, man. It was just hard work, dedication. I gave everything, man. Man, we fought, man. We fight, man. We're gonna fight to the end. That's what we did.
Jeff Green. Hey. I mean, good story. Good for him. The open heart surgery, all that. Like, I'm not dumping on that part of it. I just think he sucks. And he, a big part of why they win the series, last two games, Jeff freaking Green. I don't think the guy can play. You know, I asked you guys before, what do you think the key plays of the game were? I think he had one of the biggest plays of the entire game. I think he had one of the biggest hits of the entire game.
You're going to pick on the part that I highlighted.
Well, so, I mean, here it is. To me, this is a key sequence. You're down 4 points in the fourth quarter. 6:55 left. Okay, you're down four. You're coming out of a timeout. 6:55. Jason Tatum dunks on LeBron James. Like you read about. Dunks right in his grill. Gets in his face. Bumps him. The crowd goes nuts. Then LeBron turns it over. The Celtics come back down. Tatum hits a three. So, bang, bang. You come out of that timeout down four. With under 7 minutes left, he dunks in LeBron's face, hits a three, now you're plus one. Now you're up one with just over 6 minutes left, and the building is through the roof. And what do the Cavs do? They come down, they work it around, they leave Jeff Green wide open in the corner, and he hits that three. And they go back up two, and they never trailed again. And
yeah,
I thought,
it's right
I thought,
here. It's been sitting right here in my screen. This is the sequence right
that
here.
That was it. And then,
that
so
I was
then,
gonna highlight.
I'll just follow up quickly. Smart goes down, chucks a three, misses. Cavs come down. LeBron hits Tristan Thompson for an easy dunk down the lane. Ball game. Like, I thought that was the key sequence right there. And when I say ball game, the Celtics still had one possession chances all. You know, they had tons of one possession chances here down the stretch. My second key play was Horford missing that wide open three with 3:20 left down three. That was your last real chance, I thought, to... Well, it shouldn't have been your last real chance. It's just that was a great opportunity. Wide open shot.
And if you believe in the power of the crowd... Like, the crowd, you were there. You can speak to – I watched it on TV, but even I could tell on the TV that the crowd was kind of dead. You get that sequence with the – and they are alive. They are back into it. They are electric.
Boy,
and
that,
then Jeff Green just kills them.
Did that building tighten up, man? For as much as a Green Teamer is like, we, you know, we'll do the whole Green Teamer thing. Let's go, Celtics. As soon as it starts to turn, ooh, McCone, the sphincters. Everyone's just so tight. You could just feel it. And that Tatum sequence electrified everybody.
Yes.
And then Jeff bleeping Green. That was maybe the biggest buck of the game, I thought.
Look, I will say this. I mean, Jeff Green had a few nice plays. He was 2 of 9 from 3, though. And you look at this, the way the Cavs played last night, they only scored 87 points. They played pretty similarly to the way they had played in Boston previous. It was the Celtics, more than anything, not showing up in this Game 7.
Thank you.
Than the Cavs winning this game.
That's my point. 87 points. So, 87 points. All you had to do was shoot poorly. If you shoot poorly, you probably win the game. Never mind this thing that you put up there. I mean, your shooting performance was below poor. If you had just shot garden variety below average, you would have won that game.
And I also believe if you just stop going for threes, like you're 10 points behind instead of,
bingo,
you know, 5 or 10 points up.
But that's the pressure. The thing got to them. They got panicky. They got panicky at the end of that. So shot selection and just shot quality. And I'm sorry, I think nerves was a part of it. Steven Taunton, go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Hey, Mike, I'll tell you, two fantastic takes from you. Definitely tightness. Absolutely right. Their three-point shooting was horrible. During the season, they shot 38% from the field. And then last night, 18%. That is horrid. Now, Brad Stevens, your second point. Definitely, he should have made adjustments. They shot 4 of 19 in the first half from 3, and he must have told those guys, well, you know, they're gonna fall pretty soon. And they end up 3 for 18 the rest of the game, Mike. They're just horrid. I mean, it's both.
I think he could have slowed it down. He should have slowed it down at some point, especially late. Steven Duxbury, your thought.
Michael.
Steven.
This was not a team choke. This was a Steven.
Steven, choke. Steve.
You're anointing him as the next coming of Pop. No way.
Steve. I put you on hold there. You got to hold your phone like a slice of pizza. This is our advice to you. Don't hold your phone like a phone, because you can't hear. You'll sound like you sound. And if you got us on one of those cords or Bluetooth things, then
speakers down here.
Yes, then we'll bang you for life. Take your phone, hold it like a slice of pizza, perpendicular to your mouth, and put it right up to your mouth. You don't get to listen, but that's okay. We won't say anything. And if you don't, you got to talk like that. Other than that, we won't be able to hear you. Here's Alicia in Boston. Go ahead, Alicia.
Hi, it's Alicia. I was at the game last night, Loge, front row. 60 points, total coaching error. You should have corrected immediately, slowed the tempo of the game, set your shots up better. Take the three-point game out of the equation when you know your team wasn't on. Totally should have forced LeBron to work much harder. We were on point to get him to foul out. It was such a mistake. We should have got him to foul out. And Danny Ainge relies too much on his three-point game. He really should be driving into the paint, put the ball up on the board, draw the foul, get the dunk. Let's go. Get it done.
If you want to say they should have gone at LeBron when he was on the defensive end, fine. This whole thing about they should have done more adjustments to slow LeBron offensively, I'm sorry. Like that, he scores 35 a night.
This is where my part is that I feel there's some level to which all of the focus is on the Celtics did poorly, and I think it's people are actually denying the fact that, you know, this is
the Cavs
LeBron James
playing.
Is LeBron James.
Okay,
you know,
he's special, but his team did not play a great game last night. That was not a great performance from the Cavs. I mean, Jeff Green showed, but it wasn't like it was a great, you know, sort of complimentary effort. He did not get the Cavaliers did not play well. They scored 87 points, Marshall. 87. And you're down 12. You lose by 8 going away when they score 87 points when you're up 12 in the second quarter. No, I'm sorry. I think that's on you. That is on you. Mike in Rhode Island, your thoughts.
Who didn't see this coming? Last week, I was listening to everybody say when you guys were up 2-0 that, you know, it was kind of a backhanded compliment. Like, you were discrediting what the Warriors had done the last 3 years. Like, you were going to play the Warriors. Like, you were already in the championship. You know what? LeBron knew exactly what he was doing, and you guys got destroyed. I mean, I actually heard a guy on the radio last week say that this Celtics team was better than the Bird in the 80s. You know what I mean? It's like, is there any other place in the country where the fans are so idiotic.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
I mean, yes, there are plenty of places where the fans are idiotic. In fact, all of them.
The fans aren't idiotic here, though.
No.
But there's something about the green. The Celtic fandom has a very sort of fanny quality to them. I don't know how to describe this properly, but they really fall in love with their team. The Celtics fans do. And I think it comes through when you're leading in a series or playing well in the playoffs, man, it comes out. And it comes out hard.
And listen, I like to make fun of them a little bit, but I also get where it comes from because nobody expected this from this team. And so the fact that they were so over, performing what expectations people actually essentially got rolled up into that. They're like, well, if they can do this, then they can just keep going all the way. So I almost, it's like I feel a little bit making fun of them for it because, I mean, you didn't expect them. There were plenty of people didn't expect them to get out of the first round.
Right.
And so every step along the way, and then when you take that all the way from we don't expect them to get out of the first round to we're now up 2-0 on the Cavs, well, then why not say we can beat Golden State? Why not just, let's get on this bandwagon and ride it right down the hill? And at some point, they just lost perspective of what this team really was and who LeBron really was.
Mark in Pittsfield. Hi, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome. What do you got?
So the off season now. I want to know what you guys' thoughts on are for like what Danny Ainge is going to do in the off season.
Yeah, Mark, we got all week to do that. So like, we'll do it a lot this week. We're trying to focus on last night's game. Let me just say one thing. Coming off of last night's game, both Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier. We've had this debate about which one would you keep, who deserves the money if you can't keep them both. They both were wretched last night. And Marcus Smart was still doing Marcus Smart things, right? He was, diving around, drawing fouls, picking up loose balls, offensive rebounds. At least Marcus Smart was still doing those things, but he was 1 for 10 from the field. And only 4 3-pointers. He was 0 for 4 from behind the line, 1 for 10. Terry Rozier on three-pointers was 0 for 10 on three-pointers. After the game, Terry Rozier was asked about what he learned this year, and he talked about, well, at least I sold some T-shirts.
Marcus Smart talked about how he does things you don't see on the stat line. But to me, when people talk about that, that's because their stat line sucks. Like, well, I do things you don't see in the stats. Well, okay, but let's look at your stats. Yeah, no. Don't look at those. Look at the things I do that you don't see there.
But this is to try and just give the caller something. To me, a thing they got to figure out here is Smart and Rozier and what they're worth and what to pay them. And will these guys accept what their roles are going to be because they're going to be role players? So again, Terry Rozier was asked last night, what do you feel you were able to show this postseason?
Oh, boy.
Quote, besides my shirts, just toughness, confidence, just being a point guard. Shirts, his stupid T-shirts. The scary Terry T-shirts.
He ain't so scary last night.
And he goes 0 for 10 from three-point land last night, has a disastrous game. And he's talking about his shirts. And this is a guy who was crediting himself with championship plays earlier in the playoffs, and maybe a little bit of an inflated opinion of himself. Then you have Marcus Smart talking about being worth $12 to $14 million a year last night after going a 1 for 10 from the field. So both of these guys, like, reality checks or sort of, they need to sort of be put in their place, or they got to understand that they've all got to figure out what their place is on the team, what they're worth, if the team wants them, all those things. I think that's sort of, that's one of them. That, to me, that's the big internal one. Do you keep both? Do you want to keep both? Can they understand their role? Can they accept their role? Can they accept being paid what they should be paid as role players, et cetera, et cetera? That, to me, that's the number one internal thing on the team. We'll get back to your reaction after the Celtics' Game 7 loss last night to Cleveland. It's Felger and Maz sort of half-loaded. Here's an update from McCone.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, the Red Sox taking on the Blue Jays over at Fenway Park in the middle of the seventh right now. Sox enjoying an 8-3 lead. J.D. Martinez a home run in this one. Andrew Benintendi's also gone deep. He's just a double shy of the cycle at this point. David Price got the start. He went 5 innings, giving up 4 hits, 2 earned runs while striking out 4. Mookie Betts out of the Red Sox lineup for a second straight day, dealing with tightness in his left side. Elsewhere in the AL East right now, Yankees trail the Astros 4-0 in the seventh. Nationals lead the Orioles 4-0 in the eighth, and later on today, it's the Rays visiting the A's. Chris Archer gets the start for Tampa Bay. First pitch is at 4:05. NBA Celtics falling in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, 87-79 to the Cavs. Kyrie Irving not in attendance for that game due to a deviated septum surgery. Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals is tonight between the Rockets and the Warriors. Tip-off for that game is at 9. Golden State going to be without Andre Iguodala again. And game one of the Stanley Cup Final between Washington and Las Vegas is tonight. Face-off for that one is at 8. Sports Up Headlines brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Tim McCone in Boston, home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Up, your next update, 30 minutes.
We've got Boston sports cover coming and going. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, LeBron, we talked a little bit about this out there, but tonight, describe the effort from the men behind you, because as great as you have been, it required some help. So in different moments of this series, what do you remember about what these guys have given you?
I think what people don't understand, people that never played the game of basketball, never played team sports, is that only to succeed, it has to be a team effort. You know I get a lot of the headlines, win, lose, or draw, whatever the case may be, but in order to be successful, it's a team game. I learned that from when I first started to pick up a basketball to play organized basketball at age 9. So you get all the doubters and people who's never stepped in an arena, who's never played basketball, who's never put on a tank top and shorts, who's never played anything organized, always want to try to kill my teammates. And it's unfair to them, but I'm always stay true to the game of basketball because the game of basketball always stay true to me. And that's why we're going to another finals, because my teammates played the hell of the game.
McCone, would you take any player on that Cavaliers team right now?
No.
A single one?
That roster is awful.
Kaka. That roster is Kaka. God. I mean, like, in terms of even guys I like Tristan Thompson because I think he's, like, sort of has a consistent role that he'll get you boards and he'll, you know, clean up dunks and brings a fairly consistent level of performance. Like, I think he's okay.
Yeah.
As a pure role guy, like, you know what I mean? Just his thing, fine. Other than that, I don't think there's another guy I want on that team, including Kevin Love.
J.R. Smith's a head case.
Oh, my God.
Every single person that you got back in that Isaiah Thomas trade was useless in that game last night. There's no one on that roster that you go, you know what, that's a useful player right there. 37-year-old Kyle Korver, no thanks.
Jeff Green. You lost to Jeff Green. Did someone say something yesterday on the air that they'd eat a body part if they lost to Jeff Green?
Yeah,
Mason Souza, what? Tell me what this is.
I will eat my foot. I will cut my foot off and eat it live on the air if Jeff Green comes into Boston and beats the Celtics tonight. Mark my words.
Can we get that on tape?
I think
I was just going to say, yeah, we'll log
tape.
That.
Who is that?
It was Matt McCarthy.
Matt McCarthy said he'd eat his own foot. So that's how little respect LeBron's supporting cast has. You've got people saying, well, eat body parts if this guy comes in here and wins. And Jeff Green did, too, man. The last two games he showed up. Jeff freaking Green. Got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding. But I'm sorry, LeBron. I mean, there's some years you can say that he's surrounded by, you know, that Miami team was surrounded by good players. And certainly when he had Kyrie Irving there in Cleveland and Kevin Love was somewhat functional, I mean, that was a good team. Fine. This thing? Holy smokes. They suck. They top to bottom, they blow. So
it's great to hear LeBron talking about his teammates, because he's always been known as a guy that really shows a lot of respect for his teammates and is dedicated to the team concept.
Here's back to your thoughts, Walter in Maine. Hi, Walter.
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm first time caller. Geez, listen, LeBron makes me sick to my stomach because I have to listen to his crying for 2 weeks about how great he is, and everybody talks about how great he is, and I don't think I can handle it, so I don't think I'm going to watch TV for 2 weeks. But I've got a question. Do you think the Celtics need, like, a rim protector of some sort? Because I see a lot of layups going on. I was just kind of curious about that.
I don't know. That's what they've kept saying, and I don't know. I didn't feel – like, when they give up their share of layups, I feel they get beat on the boards a lot. But they don't want anyone who can't shoot, Walter. That's their thing. They don't want an offensive liability out there. They want to have it so you've got to cover all five guys. So if you go for just a strict rim protector who can't shoot or can't shoot threes even, I don't know if there's a fit in their system.
It's useless in the NBA now. You saw it out west. Rudy Gobert is probably the best one in the NBA. They couldn't play him, Utah, in that last series, because that's just not the way the basketball is played anymore.
What do they need? I don't think they need anything. Really, they need health.
Experience, a little more experience on some of these young guys and their health back, and I think you're right there.
Experience and health. I mean, and if you can upgrade, you know, I mean, like, if you get Anthony Davis or you want to make one of those moves, that's fine. Otherwise, I think everyone's pretty okay with get healthy and grow up a little bit in some spots, and you'll be right there.
I mean, for the second straight offseason, they're going to add Gordon Hayward, right?
Rozier or Smart? What do you do? It's an interesting way to look at it. Rozier or Smart, the thing I was just talking about.
Smart. I would go with Smart, particularly because...
What if he wants 14 a year?
Yeah, it's the NBA. Everyone gets a lot of money in the NBA. Everyone gets a lot of money in the NBA. And this
he's not going to get
predicated
it
on the theory that, and I still think this is true regardless of what happened last night, you can get something for Terry Rozier in trade. I still think that he's a guy that can give you some sort of value out there, whether it be definitely draft picks. I don't want another player. But I believe that you can get some sort of draft capital for Terry Rozier and then bring back Marcus Smart, because I think last night showed us that Terry Rozier, I guess, has the potential to be a scoring threat at times, but that's not going to be his role on this team. Marcus Smart does other things, the things he loves to talk about that you don't find in the stat book.
I'm still Smart, but geez, let's not talk about getting $14 million a year if you go 1-for-10 from the field. I mean, that's just, come on. Mike in Scituate, what do you think, Mike?
Hi, I was at the game last night, and it was like the first playoff game I went to. And with other games, like in the season that I went to, there was so much more energy in the regular season than the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
It was tight. I'm going to let you go because your phone's average. The atmosphere in the building was tight. Tight, 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 tight. And as soon as it started to go bad, you could feel it. And I don't know what to tell you. Is that just LeBron? Is that you not totally believe in the team? Is that a little too much front running? Like, I can't tell you. But to me, this is why I think they choked, too. I'm not telling you this is why they choked. It's part of my analysis of what happened in that game. They tightened up. The whole atmosphere was tight. The whole thing just sort of felt that way. And I think that the team fed into the crowd. The crowd fed into the team and the whole thing. And you could just feel it there in that second quarter. Like you said, Hook, when they didn't blow it open there in the second quarter, you could even start to build, feel it start to build right there, second quarter. Yeah, we've got Jack in Auburn. Go ahead, Jack, on the coach.
I'm not a big Celtics fan, but I don't think you can blame Brad Stevens too much. He had a seven-man roster. He had Aaron Baines, who's the 2018 version of Greg Kite. He's got Smart and Morris, who can't throw the ball in the ocean. So I mean, that he's working with a deck of cards that doesn't have 52 in it.
Okay, sure, right. So I don't blame him for playing Smart and Marcus Morris, but can he tell him to not shoot? Can he draw up sets for someone else? Can he slow the action down to get the right shot? Can he call a timeout to take it out of their hands, which he's done repeatedly in the past, but did not do in this game?
Is there any chance that those guys aren't coachable in that way? Like, do we know that he didn't say, hey, Terry, try not to take those threes? And Terry goes out thinking, because it was really notable when he came back in the game. He had been out for a long time, and he came back in, and I'm thinking, well, either he's not going to do that anymore, or he's going to do it, and he's going to have fixed whatever was broken. But no, he got out there, and he's airing threes again.
I think it's fair. It's clear you cannot get the ball out of Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart's hands. They're going to shoot. Marcus Morris is just going to fire. He's just going to shoot.
Yep.
He's a jack. So, and again, in that Philly series, you saw time and again where Stevens, I won't say time and again, but he did it a couple times, notably in that Philly series, and he does it throughout the year, where he'll call a timeout with 12 seconds left on the shot clock if he feels Morris is about to jack a bad one, or Smart's coming down the floor and has that look in his eye. And I think it just called for it last night. It called for it last night. They got so panicky and so launchy, and I don't
launchy,
know.
I like that.
I don't know. I just totally made up that word. Did Stevens end up using all his timeouts? I mean, I felt like...
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he used them all.
Part of the problem to me is the youth, and this just goes back to Jason Tatum, who was clearly the best offensive player there, being a rookie last night and kind of deferring to Marcus, where I think if he's in year three or year four, he goes, hey, Marcus, like, give me the effing ball. So that kind of ties into Stevens, where he needs to step in there and be like, you know what, guys? Like, we're running this stuff through Tatum towards the end of this game.
Absolutely. Long commercial-free segment is next.
When the games are on, this is where you can talk about them. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game 7 is underway. Strap in, kids. History about to unfold. Tatum had a look, doesn't take it, steps into 17 feet, and knocks down the first shot of Game 7.
The pump fake got the man going the other way, and all you're doing is pumping this crowd up that much more.
Good-looking start here for the Celtics in Game 7. Tatum shakes off Thompson, loses him, and drills the baseline jumper.
No, that'll get you a timeout. Somebody get off my toe. Jason Tatum!
Rozier lobs it, Horford catches. Fakes the pass to the wing. Everybody went for it. Horford put it to the floor once and dunked. 19-18. Celtics by one. Here's LeBron. Into the paint. He ran over Smart. Has to be an offensive foul. It is. Marcus Smart took one for the team and then some. He stepped in front of a freight train. Terry Rozier, offensive end, looking to give the Celtics their largest lead of Game 7. Bounce entry, Al Horford. Horford steps into the paint, kick to the corner. Morris waiting, three, got it! Ooh. Celtics by 12, 35-23. Here comes LeBron down the right side, shovels to the corner. J.R. Smith, crazy overdue, finally knocks down a three. And it's a two-point game. Eight straight for the Cavs, 37-35. Four on a shot clock, tough lob on the inside. Tatum turns it over again. Fourth turnover for Jason Tatum. Running the other way, Jeff Green jumps over. Baines scored in the foul. Jeff Green with a three-point play has tied Game 7 with 6:51 remaining in the third quarter. Horford reaches out. LeBron steps around him, flips to the corner. Jeff Green, wide open three is good. This is the largest lead for Cleveland. Up by two, 53-51. They've taken the crowd out. LeBron dribbles behind the Jeff Green screen. He's clear for three. Got it. A go-ahead tie-breaking three-pointer by LeBron James. His third of Game 7. Smart. Left-hand dribble, lob for Horford. Oh. He catches, slams it home. Scored. And the foul on Kyle Korver. And the Celtics have regained the lead. A bread and butter play for the Celtics.
Somebody call me a nurse. That was hot. Up, up, and Al Sandwich.
The Celtics have never lost a series and they led two games to none. They're down four. Smart spins away from Korver, picks up his dribble, bounce pass for Tatum. Tatum left-hand dribble, drives on, flushes hard on LeBron James. He couldn't block that one.
Hey.
Sometimes you wait for the torch to be passed and sometimes you say, I better go take it. Kick out Jaylen Brown. Smart. Shovels to Tatum. Up fake. Steps to his left. Fall away. Three. Oh. Got it.
Oh, where's the nurse at when you need her? Where is she? Yeah.
The Celtics have the lead in Game 7, and it's Jason Tatum who has led them there. Rozier looking for an opening. None there. Now he'll turn the corner. Drive on Jeff Green and dribble it out to the corner where he's open for three. No good. Rebound, Jeff Green. Long lead ahead of the field. Caught by Hill. Reverses it up and in. Timeout, Brad Stevens. Jaylen Brown up fakes. Steps back behind the line. Off balance three is no good. Smart can't get the rebound. LeBron has got it. He will race into the front court against Marcus Morris. LeBron fights through. Goaltend and the foul. And LeBron James, who has done everything there is to do in the NBA, is going to take a team that no one believed in and bring them back to the NBA Finals.
Yes, he did.
The King was not ready to be dethroned. The final score in Game 7, Cleveland 87, Boston 79. The Cavaliers defend their Eastern Conference title.
Okay, it's Felger and Maz half loaded here on a Memorial Day Monday. Marshall Hook alongside Felger in the A-hole chair. Tim McConer, Update Studio. Mason Souza behind the glass. Continue with your reaction to the Celtics' loss last night in Game 7 to Cleveland. There's one open line if you want to grab it. 617-779-0985. Roland in Stoughton. What do you got, Roland?
I just wanted to talk about how one of the biggest keys was Kevin Love getting hurt, because people were talking about, you know, Kevin Love getting hurt, that means we're going to win Game 7. I heard people talking about that all around, but they didn't realize that Kevin Love wasn't really a main factor. So I think the versatility of Jeff Green getting into the starting lineup, I said to my friends, this is going to be a key, because knowing him, it's going to be one of those games where he goes off, because he can get up in transition, and not only that, but if he grabs a rebound, he can push the tempo.
He sucks.
Unlike Kevin Love.
But he sucks.
I know he's terrible, but I told my friends, I said, I guarantee you it's going to be one of those games where Jeff Green goes off, and then people are going to be like, oh, look at what LeBron has done.
He's Roland, I hear you. He's versatile. He's just not good. In no way, shape, or form should he be a key into these games. But he was. I think his three-pointer in the fourth was one of the biggest buckets the entire game. And he outplayed Al Horford by, you know, had more minutes, had more points.
Kevin Love leads the team still in this postseason with rebounds. So he's not a nothing player.
No.
This is what the caller said. Like, he hasn't contributed to the playoff run of the Cavaliers. Well, that's factually untrue. Has been.
I think he choked in the game, and part of the way that I know that is that Jeff Green outperformed Al Horford. That's it. And that's a choke, because Jeff Green is not a better player than Al Horford, but he was more of a factor in that game than Al, and that's just an underperformance by your guy. Sorry. Ali in Haverhill. Hi, Ali.
Hey, do you guys think there's any analogy between the Celtics being up, able to eliminate LeBron, and the Falcons being up on the Patriots in last year's Super Bowl?
I would give you a loose analogy, Ali, and thanks for the call. I'll finish it off the air. Between LeBron and the Patriots, where it's like, the opponent can do all sorts of things right, have you dead to right, just do everything up and down the floor, up and down the field, but Brady gets the ball with 4 minutes left, you're cooked. And that's sort of that way with LeBron. I mean, that's just sort of a loose analogy. It's sort of like that. So you and LeBron is sort of how everybody else feels when they face Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Yeah, except I would say that if we're going to go down the road of the analogy, the Falcons were a better team in their sport than the Patriots were, or the Celtics were, as currently constituted, without their two, you know, biggest name players.
You're saying the Falcons had more of a right to win that game than the Celtics did last night?
I think the Celtics have been playing way over their heads for most, if not all, of this postseason, and certainly during their home games against the Cavaliers. I think the Falcons were playing at their level and then truly choked it away in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I think the Celtics gagged last night, though. We have a disagreement on that. Jacob in Worcester. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hello. You asked me, LeBron did awful. I mean, not awful. He had a great performance, but his team did nothing. I don't know what he's talking about. The Celtics played horrendous last night. They should have gave Jason Tatum more looks. They should have stopped chucking up threes at the end of the game. They should have went for the twos. I just think that the performance by the Celtics was awful, aside from Jason Tatum.
Okay, I agree with...
I don't disagree with a single thing he just said.
Me too. And this whole thing about LeBron supporting cast stepped up last night? Who? Other than Green, maybe, kind of, sort of. I mean, the bench? Kyle Korver, 1-for-6 in his 17 minutes. He stunk. And he had open looks in the first half, too. He had plenty of chances. Jordan Clarkson, a minus 13 in 9 minutes. You would think that's not possible. Minus 13 in 9 minutes. Larry Nance Jr. was minus 9 in 7 minutes and 50 seconds. George Hill got 6 points. J.R. Smith got 12, but he was 3-for-8. Took him 8 shots to get his three-pointers. Tristan Thompson, again, is someone that I like. He's 4-for-4 from the field, 10 points, plus 14, 9 rebounds. Like, I feel like that's that to me feels like Tristan Thompson. I like Tristan Thompson. As a total role player, and so he did his job, right? He didn't miss a shot. He grabbed boards, was a plus player. Okay, fine. Played 35 minutes just about. Got it. Jeff Green is the one. 50% from the field. Only 2 of 9 from the three-point line, though, but he's got to take those 9 three-pointers because he's not covered. The Celtics don't cover the guy, so you got to get it to him and he's got to shoot it. And Jeff Green ends up hurting you.
And I think that their roster did the opposite of what the Celtics did. I mean, the reason the Celtics were able to get out to a 12-point lead was because nobody, almost literally nobody on the Cavaliers was scoring other than LeBron James in the beginning. And then people like J.R. Smith found some momentum. Well, I wouldn't even go so far as to say momentum, but they managed to find some scoring in themselves later into the second quarter and certainly into the second half.
I just don't think it was a great game by the Cavs. LeBron was, again, just
I mean, they only scored
special.
87 points. 80, so, yes, it wasn't great by any means.
87 points. You hold them to 87 points. You're at home. You're plus 12 in the second quarter, and you lose going away. That, to me, is a choke. That's a question before the panel. Did the Celtics choke last night? Should they have won that game? We'll pick up that question right after McCone's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.